we have an amazing speaker coming up. And he brought up last week or the week before that he's done 1,400 messages. And I see those as spiritual touchdowns. And you know what? Tom Brady only has 606. So he has a way to catch up. So congregation, get your hands together and let's go back to you, Pastor Phil.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny. That was really funny. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Well, let me also say this about our Through the Bible in a Year photo, that we'll be posting that online and social media, so you can go and get it there on social media. Also, it was the staff against the Dyke household, really, up there, so we could keep it all COVID safe, so we kind of kept people that we knew were together in that. So just so you know, we try to do all that we can to make sure we keep everyone safe. Super Bowl Sunday. Oh my goodness. Does anybody care? How many Buccaneer fans do we have? How many Kansas City fans do we have? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It must be something special to get you out of your house here to be here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to make sure you stay safe, buddy. Okay. So, we have a game today. I thought I'd give you some interesting facts about Super Bowl 55. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the first team in NFL history to play the Super Bowl in their own stadium. Nobody's ever had a home field advantage, although I don't know how much of a home field advantage it is, because they're actually practicing social distancing because of the coronavirus. So only 22,000 fans are allowed in the over 70,000 seat facility in Florida. Thirdly, the cost for a ticket, the lowest cost that I could find for Super Bowl 55 was $7,225. That's just to get in. Now, if you want to get in really well, the highest priced one was $250,000. So depending where you wanted to sit, I mean, for $250,000, I better be sitting in the quarterback's arms is where I'd have to be sitting for $250,000. Super Bowl I, the cost for a Super Bowl I ticket, $6. $6. And it wasn't even sold out. 61,000 people in attendance. There were 35,000 empty seats in that one. That was played in the Coliseum. But this year it's going to set a record. There'll be 48,000 empty seats for this particular Super Bowl. Each team gets 108 footballs to use for the Super Bowl. Some will be completely filled with air and some not so much. There's 105 million pounds of guacamole to be eaten today. And here I'll give out, I got some gift certificates I'll give out. I don't know that anybody will get this one. What artist has performed the most number of times in the Super Bowl halftime show? Anybody know? Anybody got an answer? Say something. What? Nope. The Grambling State University Marching Band. Can you believe that has been there? They were at the very first Super Bowl. They performed at the very first Super Bowl. The Grambling State University Marching Band has been in more than any other performer. Who's the highest paid performer of the Super Bowl halftime show? Does anybody know who's number one? Who is the highest paid performer of a Super Bowl halftime show? Does anybody know? Yes. Nope. 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 I'm trying to give this out to somebody. Nope. No one. Because no one gets paid. You don't get paid to perform. You get blessed to perform. I think when Timberlake did the Super Bowl, his record sales went up by 500%. So you see, it's lucrative for the person who does perform and gets on the number one show in the world, right? All right, here's one, and you have to raise your hand or who can come up here. Who has lost more Super Bowls than anyone else? Who's lost more Super Bowls than anyone else? Come on, hurry, come on up here if you want to answer. Come on up here. Does anybody have, nobody knows? Nobody knows? What do you say? Hurry, hurry, hurry. Lost more than anybody else.
Be the Bills.
Who?
The Bills.
No. They did lose four. the thing about the Bills is they lost four in a row. One, two, three, four. They lost four in a row. Anybody else? Who's lost the most number? You can't Google this. All right? Give it to this person right here. Who?
The Denver Broncos?
Yes, the Denver Broncos were one. There's another team. There's another team that also lost five games. Who knows who that is? Five games. They lost five Super Bowls. Hurry up. Give it to them.
Oakland.
Nope. Hurry, hurry. Anybody else? Gotta run.
The Patriots.
The Patriots have lost five Super Bowl games. They've also won more than anybody else, but they've also lost more than anybody else. Incredible, huh? Our theme for this year is All for One in 21. We're talking about unity, talking about togetherness, talking about the church especially. We need to be together. Our nation needs to be together. We talked about how our nation is hurting. It's not in unity. But you know, to win a Super Bowl, if your players aren't in unity, you are not going to win a Super Bowl championship. If the players are fighting against one another, if they're not united together and there's division in the ranks, it's pretty hard to take a divided group and go and conquer another team because they're picking at each other. Division, as I said, is the enemy's number one greatest tool because a house divided against itself can't stand. A team divided against itself cannot win. You can't win. You can't win if you have division. You can't win if you're not united together on the same page, going after the same goal. Football is about unity. It's about teamwork. Unity and teamwork go together here. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work. If you got to be a team together, working together to make your goals and aspirations and visions to happen. When Jesus came down trying to create a team of 12 and then trying to create a team of all of us, he understood that it took teamwork to make his vision come to pass, to see the world saved, set on fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes every one of us. You're not an inconsequential bystander out here in the church. Oh, my life doesn't matter. I don't do much for the kingdom. You're important. You're a vital part, and we need you. And if you feel like, well, I'm not doing much, then start doing much. Then start doing something. Well, I'm not really gifted. Then ask God for the giftings. Take a step out. Believe in faith and watch what God will do with you. Because it's by faith that things happen. Last week I said that Jesus is not praying for us to be the same, but for us to be one. We are all different with different backgrounds, different stories, different hobbies, different likes, different dislikes, different opinions, but we're to be one in unity, together, like-minded, heavenly-minded, God-focused, and spiritual. It's the same thing for a football team. They need to be one together or they're not going to win. Now, they're all different. They're all completely different. There's a difference between a field goal kicker and punter and a defensive lineman, right? You look at some of this stuff here. We have a punter. Look at him. I would hate to put your face in anybody's, you wouldn't want to tackle if you were that guy, right? Look at that guy. That's the difference between the offense and defense, the difference between a person who is a skilled position. What are the other ones? We got a couple other pictures up there. Here's a punter. He don't even have any knee pads. He don't care because he's not going to get touched. And then we have people who are geared up, man. They got their uniform on. Except for Michael Bennett, he doesn't put on pads. He wears the smallest shoulder pads. He's got shoulder pads on. They're the smallest in all of football because he says he uses his hands as technique, and that reminds him not to use his shoulder. I would still put on pads if I were him, but. He's making a lot more money than I am, so I don't say anything to him. He's amazing. Each one, you know, you wouldn't expect a quarterback to play a defensive lineman, or you wouldn't expect a defensive lineman at 300 pounds to be playing quarterback. And it's amazing to me that God has a place and a position for each and every one of this. And what's the most ridiculous thing that I see in football is when you see a quarterback trying to make a tackle after an interception. Watch this. This is Philip Rivers.
Winding down in this opening quarter. Cutting it to the outside.
He's not gifted for this. He's not supposed to do this. He's up in your upper left-hand corner. Here he is. Whoa. That was not good. Watch this again here. He laid spread eagle out there on the ground after he missed this one.
If there was one knock on Jonathan Taylor coming out of Wisconsin, it was ball security. And it came up right there. Notice how hard they worked while they were tackling him, while they were
now
trying to
him.
Work the ball free.
He literally fell by himself, so he just jumps
and
over him.
Picked it up. There's the last hurdle.
Hurtled right over him.
Ball square here.
If that isn't embarrassing.
Point.
Watch this. Here he is. Here he is. Okay. Oh, he got he got hit by a phantom ghost. Yes. He went over him saying, sucker. I mean, he's not gifted there, right? They're different. Thank God he's not back there saving offensive receivers from going into the end zone, because he would not do very good at that particular job. We're all different. But we play in unity, each playing its position, each playing its part. Well, I'm not really gifted at evangelism. Okay, well, you should be able to at least talk about the Lord, but maybe there's somebody else that's more gifted. Maybe you're gifted someplace else. Maybe you're gifted in prayer, a prayer warrior, or some other aspect of the body. We need every part to make up the whole body. We're not all one. We're not all the same thing. Thank God he gave diversity. But in diversity, there's supposed to be unity in diversity. That's the body of Christ. If the QB called a pass play and the receiver decided, you know, I want to run a different pass. Instead of going out at 10 yards, I'm going to go in at 10 yards. I just feel like an innie, not an outie today. Well, that's not going to go over, right? Because a quarterback is going to throw the ball probably before you even make your move. And he's going to throw out into nowhere land and want to know why you just did your own thing. You cannot do your own thing on a football team. You cannot just do whatever feels good to you on if you're a member of a football team, nor can we just do what we want if we're a member of the kingdom of God. We have a coach. We have the Holy Spirit inspiring us and telling us what to do. If not, we don't win. If not, we don't look very good. We need unity in the diversity for the team to win. We need to be able to hear the quarterback. You know, I wore my 12th, my 12th man, because I just wanted to. I only wear, you know, I wore it, how long ago was it? It was a while ago when we could wear that. So I just thought I'm going to wear it today because I want to talk about unity. I want to talk about the 12th man. What does the 12th man do? Screams, right? So when the quarterback of the opposing team is trying to tell or call an audible or trying to do the count, and he's yelling out there, everybody else yells so loud, you can't hear what the quarterback is saying. It's exactly what the enemy tries to do to us sometimes, putting chatter in our lives to cause us not to be able to hear the audible that the Lord wants to play in your life right now. We need to be listening every day. Oh, well, I know my job. The Lord told me 20 years ago, hey, did he give you an audible for today, though? Did he call an audible today because he wants you to do something? You normally just go this way. You normally just do that. Today, does he want you to do something different? Go down a different aisle, maybe talk to a person who's over there in the lettuce aisle. I don't think lettuce has a whole aisle, but vegetable aisle, where the lettuce is. If you can't hear the quarterback, and the chatter is so loud, we're going to have division. It's exactly why the enemy chatters in your brain, is to cause you to be divided upon what you believe the Lord wants you to do, or to not hear the audible that he wants you to do today. Part of the adventure of living for Christ is the audibles he gives you each and every day as he empowers you to do something different, or to see somebody, or to say something, or to do something, or to give something, that all of a sudden you begin to bless somebody and you realize life is a great adventure if and when we listen to the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us down that adventure. Oh, but we're creatures of habit. Well, would to God we'd be a creature of the habit of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit so we do whatever he says whenever he wants. That's the habit that we need. The devil knows that you need unity to walk and to conquer the way we're supposed to conquer. So the devil tries to divide us so that he can conquer us. He tries to divide. And how does he divide? I think there's two ways in particular. One, he divides from within, trying to get a bunch of problems here. A church is putting together something, they're going to put new carpet in, and everybody's, well, we want blue, and so they put blue in, and somebody says, no, I want brown, and somebody else wants a purple, and somebody else wants green, and somebody else, and so we have a big problem over what? The color of carpet in the church, rather than the state of affairs in our world and people that need to be saved and set free from sin. He gets us divided. He gets us off the main topics, the main ideas. He gets us within to kind of chatter. And I don't like him. And he said, and what did that mean? And God wanted the body of Christ to be one, to be together. That's why he gave us things like foot washing or communion, where we're supposed to take communion because we've examined ourselves and we've looked to see if we got aught with anybody else. And then before communion, we realize if I have aught with somebody else, I can't take communion. I'll be taking unworthily. Therefore, I need to go and talk to the person, get right with that person, then come back and partake of communion rightly. That's why we do communion once a month, is so that we can make sure that all of the little problems and little issues are dealt with in the church because we've gone and made sure that we're right. Because you can't take communion if it's not. I know a lot of us just take it anyway, but that's not what the Bible says. And he cautions us, hey, don't take it if it's not right. It won't do you any good. It may do you harm. So he's saying, get right. Well, I don't want to bow down. I don't want to say I was wrong to that guy. Well, tough. There's a lot of stuff a lot of people don't want to do, but we do it because that's what God told us to do. If we start doing what God told us to do, whether we wanted to do it or not, we find out that life goes a lot better and it becomes more joyful, exciting, and much more of an adventure. In football, you may have a star athlete, a great athlete. He's amazing. And in your locker room, if he's like cancer, if he's dividing the team, if he's causing squabbles and fights and all that and bickering, I'll tell you, most coaches will cut that person. They'll get rid of him. They don't care because they know that if one bad apple, what? Spoils the bunch. We got to get it out. We got to be going together. Doesn't matter how good you are, because you're not good for nothing if all you're doing is spouting out division. And then there's from without. There's also the attack from without. In football, I would call this trash talking. Trash talking. The other opponent's trying to trash talk you. The definition of trash talk is this. Disparaging, taunting, or boastful comments, especially between opponents trying to intimidate each other. Trash talk. Do you know where trash talk first started? Where it was really kind of made popular? It started back in the 60s with one amazing boxer. His name was Muhammad Ali. He would say all sorts of stuff. He would say all sorts of things against whoever he was boxing against. He came up with all sorts of slogans and all sorts of stuff. And he loved to do that. He just loved to just get into the person's head as they were boxing. As a matter of fact, that became a thing called trash talk. And that's why wrestlers and boxers and now football players, basketball players, any sport, it seems like, they just do this trash talk. They do this intimidation, trying to get you off your game, trying to get into your head. It's amazing when Ali was 22 and he was fighting Sonny Liston for the championship. Sonny Liston was called the Big Bear. The Big Bear. And so he came up with this slogan when he was fighting Sonny. He said this, I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Liston's hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. And it became a thing that he had used a lot. I mean, he did a lot of different things. And then he said this, the day that he was fighting him. He says, after the fight, I'm going to build myself a pretty home and use him as a bearskin rug. Liston even smells like a bear. I'm going to give him to the local zoo after I whoop him. He did win, but he didn't send him to the zoo. The enemy trash talks to get into your head and to get you off your game. get into your head and get you off your Christianity. Get into your head to get you frustrated. See, frustration causes us to do all sorts of things. We get frustrated and we react. He's trying to frustrate us to get us off our game, really to get us off our Christianity. Because when you're frustrated, you act differently. You're just bothered, and all of a sudden you do things, say things that you never would if the Holy Spirit was just there guiding you through something. We can't let the enemy trash talk or get into our head to quit listening to the Holy Spirit and begin listening to the lies that the devil wants to say. It's interesting that Tom Brady is a very big trash talker. However, there's a bigger trash talker. I was going through all of this about the trash talkers, number one trash talkers. The number one quarterback trash talker, though, is Philip Rivers, the one who made that great tackle that we saw earlier. Let's look at this.
Hold up. He's got a 90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
I see I'm saying. You see how I'm talking, right? Stay humble, bro. Stay humble, cuz.
I can say 90-yard. I can be excited.
Yeah, but don't do that by my ear. Don't do it by my ear. No,
I will do it by my ear.
No. Hey, one seven.
Rivers probably one of those guys. He always let you know when he got you. You know, I hated him for about 2 years.
Yeah. I feel like he would say something too.
He would. Yeah, he got. Yeah, I got you right there. Or he, you know, you come back and you jump that one. Don't do that again. Or something crazy like that. It's like half the time I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I know he's just talking trash.
Run! Third down. Yo. Oh, quit crying! Quit crying! Hey, I can just tell you right now, 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. 41's the mic. Good. Told you.
That's why he's playing.
Hey, you don't play Mike. Why would you line up there? Quit just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things, you scream, reverse. You don't know what's going on.
Well, he never cursed.
He never curses, huh?
Never cursed.
He doesn't
Not
curse.
Not one time.
Golly. Gosh, that should have been huge.
Dadgummit.
Dang it. Dang it. Ooh, and hunt, hunt! Hey, that's you! Hey! Right here, right here. Put your hands up, tell everybody you made the play. You like last year. Put your hands up, tell everybody. I'm just having fun.
And you wanted to know, do these guys say anything when they're out there playing? They say Rivers never stops talking. He's always talking, chattering. He is, I believe he's a Catholic. He has 9 children. He never swears. He will never swear at all, but he loves to chatter. He loves to talk. He loves to also get into your ear. But there are other trash talkers out there that take it very seriously. Literally, they'll stalk their opponents on Facebook. They'll find out their personal lives, the names of their wife and their children, and then they'll start jabbering about it during the game. It's absolutely incredible what they do. A lot of times when you see people out there in football, especially, they get into a big fight, it's usually because of what somebody said to them. What they said to them. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a 15-yard penalty, right? So if you can get under somebody's skin and you can get them going, and then the ref sees them throw a punch at you, that's a 15-yard penalty, which can be very advantageous in the game. So there's a lot of strategy, honestly, amongst trash talkers to try to invoke a penalty to make things happen. The enemy hopes that you retaliate with disappointment in life, with the disappointment you have in life. He hopes you retaliate with sin or alcohol or sex or drugs or suicide or depression or anxiety. He's got so many things that he hopes you look at life and the trash talk that's happening. He hopes you retaliate back, not in a good way, in a bad way. It takes a lot of discipline not to throw a punch. Discipline to make sure that you don't listen to the jabber. You don't listen to the jabber. You don't listen to the trash. It's very interesting that the devil has a history of trash talking. I went through 3 particular spots, Adam and Eve. The devil spoke directly to them and he trash talked them. He trash talked God. God doesn't really want the best for you. Has God really said, you know, you could be like him? He never told you that, but you could be like him. He begins to start talking to them and get them off their game, get them off their thinking, getting off the right reasoning, get them off the relationship with the Lord, and start to complain, start to worry, start to do something different. He did it also with Job. He trash talked Job to God. Hey, look at this guy. Look at this idiot. He only does this because he's a trash talker. He did it to Jesus in the wilderness. He trash talked Jesus. Hey, if you're really the Son of God, do this and this and this. You see, the devil loves a trash talk. He trash talked Adam and Eve. He trash talked Job. He trash talked Jesus. You don't think that he's trash talking you? You don't think when you come up with, you know, I've been thinking about... That's the enemy trash talking you. Don't listen. Don't go down that road. Don't start dialoguing. Don't start thinking that. You know, you're right. I'm just a loser. I'm not. And then we start going down the road and all of a sudden we do things we should never be doing. We got going down the road because we believe the trash talk that the trash talker says to us. Don't listen. If you want to listen, listen to the living God through the Holy Spirit who will tell you, I love you, have value, have worth. I died for you. I've got plan. I got vision. I don't care how much you've messed up your life. I've still got a plan. I've still got a destiny. I've still got a purpose for you. He wants us to believe what's right and not the trash talking that comes from the devil. He wants us united with him and with one another. You know, when Jesus responded in the wilderness, when he responded to the trash talk of the devil, do you know how he did it? Jesus responded to Satan's trash talk with the word. With the word. That's why we need to read it, know it, and use it. That's why we need to read it, know it, and use it today. That's why it's so important. That's why I'm asking you to get into the word every day, because this is our only defense against the trash talk that comes to us, is the word of God. Because the enemy will twist everything. He'll try to dilute things. He'll try to change things. He'll try to say, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's kind of logical, isn't it? But is it in the Word? Is it the Word of God? Is it a principle of God? He tries to use logic to get us confused about the reality of what the Word really says. Because he did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with Jesus. He tried to confuse them on what the Lord said. It worked with Adam. It didn't work with Jesus. And my prayer is it won't work with you either. Because we don't listen to the trash talking. And the devil is the trash talker of all trash talkers. He's better than Tom Brady or Larry Bird. Larry Bird, number one trash talker in basketball, right ahead of Michael Jordan. And some of the stuff that trash talkers say is just out and out mean. There's one trash talker, I won't give you his name, he was talking to Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was on the foul line. He's getting ready to shoot a foul shot. He's right here. And the person says, hey, happy Mother's Day, right before he's taking his shot. Now you'd think it was Mother's Day coming up. And so you'd think, well, he probably thought, well, that's neat. Thank you very much. But the issue was this. Tim Duncan's mother died of breast cancer just before, the day before Tim Duncan turned 14 years old. That's just mean. That's just mean. That's just a cheap shot. You don't think the devil would cheap shot you everywhere? He doesn't play fair. He plays dirty. He's the dirtiest of them all. He's mean. He's mean-spirited. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He came to ruin your life. You don't play with the devil. He's a cheap shot artist. Don't listen to him. He's just mean. And I want to end in my last 5 minutes with six things. In my last 6 minutes, six things the devil wants for your life, six things the devil will trash talk you in. Here we go, buckle up. Number one, here's what he wants for your life. Here's what he'll trash talk you in. What does he want? For you to doubt God. He did it with Adam and Eve. He wants to do it with you as well. He wants to get into your head. He wants to get into your head. In John 20:27, it said, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hand, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Say it with me. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. That's what God would say to us. The devil would say, stop believing and start doubting. Because that's what he's trying to get us to do. I put a comment here. When the devil tempts you to doubt God, don't let your circumstances determine your God. Let your God determine your circumstance. Number two, trash talk that the devil get to you because he wants this for your life, for you to live in fear. Hear this first point here that I put in your notes or on the overhead. Fear is not the absence of faith. It is the misplacement of it. Oh, he wants you to believe in something, just not in God. Believe in another ideology, something you'll fight for, because if you don't believe in it, you won't fight for it. He wants us to believe in something that's not true. Believe it, parade it, count on it, live for it, die for it. You see, fear is not the absence of faith, it's the misplacement of it. The devil doesn't want to rob our faith. He just wants us to be in anything other than God. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. What are you afraid of? What are you honestly afraid of today? A political situation? The end of the world? Climate? I don't know what it is. Quit listening to the trash talk and start listening to the coach, the Holy Spirit. I'm not just saying world events. I'm saying in your own personal life. What are things you're afraid of? What are things you worry about? We need to start putting our faith and our trust in the Lord who's going to lead us through all of that. Number three, the trash talker wants you to feel insecure. He wants you to feel insecure, less than who you are. Ah, you can't make it. You're an idiot. You're not loved. Nobody cares about you. What a jerk. You're such a sinner. He wants you to know how unloved you are. And nobody really cares. But God says in Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Number four. Fourth thing he wants to trash talk you about is this. For you to avoid the church. Don't go there. Don't go there. You'll hear stuff that could possibly change your life forever. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't listen. Don't be involved. Sleep in. You don't need it. You're good enough. Jesus loves you. That's enough. No, the church is a place that's supposed to begin to transform our life to become more and more like Jesus because we talk more and more about this. The more uninvolved you become with the body of Christ, the harder it is to persevere in your faith. The more uninvolved you become, the more you get away from something, the harder it is to be that. The more we get away from Christians and where we're hearing the word of God, the more it becomes more difficult to walk uprightly in this world that's walking so wrongly. It isn't easy to follow Jesus in a world that doesn't. Let me say that again. It isn't easy to follow Jesus in a world that doesn't follow him. And there are less and less people who are following him, it seems like. The thoughts and expressions and things that are said out there are so unbiblical. It's like, Lord, is anybody reading your word anymore? And we get all these fact checkers out there fact-checking stuff. We need to check against the Bible what we're saying. Not against, well, you know what's been said out there. Doesn't want you involved in the church. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober. It means to abstain from wine and be alert. Be vigilant. The word vigilant means to keep awake, to watch, not asleep. Because your adversary, the word adversary here means one who is actively and continuously hostile towards someone. He is continually hostile toward you. But just yesterday, I was hearing all this stuff, and he seemed like a great guy. And let me tell you what, he's a liar. He's hostile to you. He wants your demise. He wants your destruction. That's his end game. I see so many people today listening to the Pied Piper who's leading them straight to the pit of hell and thinking all the time that these people are here to help me. They're not. They're here to deceive you and to destroy you. We need to be awake. He goes on to say, be vigilant. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means to drink down, to swallow, gulp entirely. He just wants to swallow us up. He wants to swallow us up. That's his plan. And the instruction in verse 9 is, resist him. Speak to the hand. The enemy wants to talk to you, speak to the hand. I don't listen. I don't listen. I don't listen to what the devil says. I engulf myself in the things of the Spirit so that I can make sure that when it doesn't match this, I know because I've read it well. So when I hear a contrary voice, I go, wait a second, it doesn't say that here. That's not the truth. That's not the truth what you're telling me here. Or would it, if we would have had the recorded scripture or something that would have helped Adam. Here's a quote I saw. When you leave the community we were made for, we are destined to be devoured. When we leave the community we were made for, we are destined to be devoured. You were made by God to flourish in the kingdom of God. You were made by God to flourish in the church of God. You were not made to flourish in the world. We're to be in the world, but not of it. We're not of that system. We need to take into the world our Christianity, not let the world steal our Christianity and become part of it. We're supposed to know this going into that and not letting that change this. Number 5. The trash talker wants for you to be led astray. And Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. And they and will lead many astray. I think in this time and age, we got to be, who are we listening to? They came to lead us astray. The word astray here means to cause to wander off the path. To cause someone to hold... You hear this. I thought this was amazing. To cause someone to hold a wrong... This is right out of the definition here for the word in the Greek. To cause someone to hold a wrong view and thus be mistaken, to mislead, to deceive, deception. A lot of people are trying to get us to have the wrong view, the wrong mindset. When we rely on the words of men, when we rely on the words of men or ourselves in place of God's word, we can be led away from Jesus and his truth. Even our own words. Do your own words match this? You know, I've always felt and thought and believed, and I grew up and I think and all that, and I'm going, awesome, wonderful. Is it here? Is it here? Oh, no, I got to take that out. No, that doesn't get taken out. It's not supposed to be taken out of here. It's supposed to be taken out of here. So many people are taking things out of here. Well, no, that's not right. No, 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 it's not right here. It's not right in you. You need to take that out of you. Rip it out of you. This is the only truth. Lastly, the trash talker wants you to fail. To be destroyed. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want us to be destroyed. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When you feel like you're going to lose, take heart. Jesus already won for you. I don't know how this Super Bowl is going to turn out today, even though we predicted it. Don't believe it's really going to come out like that, probably. Exactly. But I do know about the Super Bowl of life that we're all in. I do know this, we do win, and that's a guarantee. Joe Namath guarantee that they were going to win the Super Bowl. He said, I'll guarantee it. A lot of people have guaranteed a lot of stuff and it really hasn't happened. I can tell you this, we win in the end. I guarantee it because God guarantees it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for being so good to us. We thank you that today we can have fun watching the game and play around and root and all of that. But Father, we realize that there's a bigger game that we're playing. It's called the Super Bowl of life, and we're all in it. We're all contestants. We're all participants. We're all players in this game. And Father, I pray that you would allow us to play it well, to do our part. We know that we win in the end, Lord, and we're excited. That doesn't mean just sit on the bench and do nothing. That means that we're supposed to get into the game, to do our part, to see the greatness of what you want to accomplish happen, Lord, to pray and see it happen, to partner with God for the greatest game in the world, the Super Bowl of life, that we win, we win, we win, Lord. How fun to play a game. You just know you're going to win. So in the process, we can smile. We can be happy because we win the game. We don't have to be down or depressed or worried because we win the game. I will not let the conditions and affairs of today cause me to lose the joy I have in the Lord because I know we win the game. Thank you, Lord, for that certainty. We love you and we bless you. Help us now, Lord, as we enjoy this game that we'll watch, and help us as we play your game. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Love you tons.